Take your Bibles, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 9 and go through 12, and we're going to talk about the Father's legacy. In our text here, Paul, to the church at Thessalonica, is defending his ministry against the false accusations of the Judaizers and the pseudo-apostles by using the analogy of a father, because one of the accusations they made about Apostle Paul is he doesn't care anything about you. He's all in it for the money. So he's talking about the analogy of a spiritual father, and he also relates it to that of an earthly father. Now, we see four duties of the spiritual father that we can apply to earthly fathers on this Father's Day. And so, Dad, how do you want to be remembered? Think about that. What do you want the preacher to say to you about you and over you when your time comes that you depart and go home and be with the Lord? What do you want on your headstone, on your slab? Faye and I already have those in Lebanon Cemetery. We already got everything filled out so our kids can easily find our grave, you know. Of course, I won't be there. I'll be in heaven. But how do you want to be remembered? Well, let's look at what Paul said about a spiritual father here in verses 9 through 12, and we can relate that to that of an earthly father. In fact, he does that. Let's begin reading in verse 9. For we remember, brethren, in other words, how do you want to be remembered? For we remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring day and night, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. We are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. There he's relating it to the earthly father. That you walk worthy of a God who hath called you unto his kingdom and his glory. The legacy of a father. Dad, how do you want to be remembered this morning? Father, I pray as we open this text, you open our hearts, as we rightly divide this text, putting it in its context with the thorough intent of the author and the meaning of the Holy Spirit intends, we pray, Father, that you'll speak to us about how we want to be remembered. What kind of legacy do we want to leave behind with our family? And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Number one, I think Paul mentions here that we should want to be remembered by our work in verse 9. He says, for you remember, brethren, how we labored and travailed and laboring day and night, that we would not be chargeable by any of you. Paul was under attack and accused of greed and financial gain in the ministry. So for that reason, some churches he refused to get support because he didn't want it to be a hindrance to his ministry. He was a tent maker who worked to pay his own way on some of these churches. And the Lord and Paul set forth the teaching that those who preach the gospel make their living by the gospel. I talking to a man the other day, you know, I forget where we was at. That's one thing about it, don't linger with me because I can't remember where I was at. But the man says, I don't think no preacher ought to be paid full time. And I couldn't help it. I began to share with him Corinthians, what Paul said. Those who preach the gospel make their living by the gospel, right? If a church is big enough, the church can afford it. I think every man ought to be free to study and to visit and free to go to the hospital, free to go to funerals and things like that. You know, and it's hard to do that when you're bivocational. Although I did it for many years here. So he set that forth. A father is to provide for his family. You know, if you don't provide for your family, there's not much to you. And I would say about 50% of America, there's not much to them. Amen? And my heart is grieved today for there are homes today that 80% of black families have never known their father. You know? And there's people that have fathered them. They're good for nothing. They're not even worth wasting a bullet on, really. You know, there's some sorry folk out there, right? And I'm telling you, I mean, I hope you sense I'm anger about that, but we wonder why kids turn out like they did, but they had no father. And if they did have a father in the home, he wasn't a father, right? So 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5 says, chapter 5 says, if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. We're not used to the excuse of providing for our family for, you know, I'm providing for my family. I don't have time to spend time with them. I'm too busy out working for them and making sure they can go to the best colleges, the best schools, and have the best clothes and things like that. That's no excuse. Absentee dad is about as bad as a guy that's not even a dad, right? Y'all agree with me this morning? All right, some of you don't. But you're not absentee dads. I know you're a good father, right? So we ought to teach our children the worth ethic that your income is not going to come from the lottery or the government. Amen? I know I can get an amen on that one, right? Well, I want to warm y'all up, warm this crowd up, right? Keith, come up here and do a song and dance. Let's warm them up some. You know, God never intended for the government to be your caregiver, right? They are to protect us from evil, punish the bad people, and reward the good, but they got it all backwards today, right? Got it all backwards today. I never thought I'd live in a day that we're living in. Father's to provide for his family. So we want to be remembered by our work. By our work. All of my uncles and all of your family all worked. And they went out to work and they earned money for their family and able to spend quality time with their family. And they didn't depend upon all that other. Though I say now there is a time when there are programs when people are down and out, but it's never meant to be a continual lifestyle, right? And so we should be remembered by our work. Number 2 in verse 10, we should want to be remembered by our walk. Look what Paul said again in verse 10. You are witnesses and God also. Can we live a life where we call on God and call on God and the other believers and even the Holy Spirit to be a witness for us? That's amazing, isn't it? You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Paul was not afraid to call the church of God as a witness, and God himself to a witness for his life. True godliness involves the outward, what man sees, and the inward, what God sees, what man sees. Many times what God sees is different than what the world sees, right? And he was ever mindful that he was accountable to the Lord for his life and his ministry. You say, well, Brother Ken, you don't know the job that I had. Well, the Bible says no matter what kind of job you have, do it all heartily unto the Lord. If you're in a job where you can't stand it, you don't like your employer, work as you are working for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what he says. He was holy and devout, which means he carefully fulfilled God-given duties toward God. He could stress one's commitment to prayer, study of the Bible, the Word, worship, loving. There's no greater good sight than to see a husband leading his family to church on Sunday, right? And Brother Robert, you did a good job with that this morning. I know many times when our kids were little and things, and we'd be going to church, you know, when we got to church and holding our Bibles under our arms and all that. By the way, man, you carry your own Bible. Don't let your wife carry your Bible, okay? Amen? I need an amen right there. Now, we're going to be here at 1 o'clock. You say, preacher, you'll be here by yourself, right? You lead, okay? And so I know many times, and my family can tell you, many times we walked up to the church door and that preacher thought he had a prize family in his church, right? He didn't know what was going on in the car, right? You know, or either between a husband and a wife, you know. And so it was a bad way many times. He's blameless, being free of charges of blame before people. See, we can't communicate or motivate others if we don't have these traits ourselves. You know, when I was working at Astro Pest Control for 20 years, it broke my heart when I went into these homes and Dad was drinking, Dad was smoking, Dad was doing this, and the little boy, you know, and he'd get upset. The little boy wanted to drink a beer or wanted to smoke or something. He'd get upset, and I thought, well, Daddy, why are you doing it, right? Right in front of him, right? And boy, I've seen some things, man, that curl your hair. even worse than things I've seen in the church, right? They'll curl your hair, some of the things I've seen. And it just breaks my heart. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, but be an example to the unbelievers in word and conduct and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Titus 2:7 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, gravity, and sincerity. So the father today should want to be remembered by his work, by his walk. But thirdly, he should want to be remembered by his words. Verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. A father is to be concerned about the well-being of his children and be an instructor and be an example, you know. It's not enough to tell them what they need to do. You need to live the example before them, right? And let them see it and live in color. In fact, the Holy Spirit here gives us three verbs that describe what the fathers do. Number one, verse 11, exhorting. Exhort means to call to one side, to come alongside, to cheer up or console. Exhort them to a certain behavior or conduct. And I saw a lot of things, you know, going in and out of homes that, you know, if they lived today, they'd be under the jail, you know. We must take time for personal counsel and build personal relationships with our family. Come alongside and direct or instruct our children. But the church and the family must be teachable. Dad must be teachable. I think this is one of the drawbacks. Even in the church today, people are not teachable, right? And then he uses the word comforted in verse 11. The word is like encouragement, but in the sense of comfort and consolation. He made them feel better and do better. A father is not to pamper his children. You're not to give them a license to misbehave. You need to correct them when they're wrong, and that goes on even after they're grown. You can't be part of their problem, right? You've got to tough love many times. And the father's not to pamper or berate a child, but encourage them to go back and try again. You know, if anyone could have beat their child for not making good grades in high school, it was me. I mean, not me, but my mother, right? My daddy stayed drunk all the time. But my mother, she could have beat me coming and going because I didn't make over a C in high school. Really. And it's not because I was dumb. It's because I didn't bring any books home, right? Yeah, but when I got in college, I honor roll, dean's list, and all that kind of stuff, Phi Theta Kappa, stuff I can't even pronounce. And, you know, I studied then, you know, so I would go ahead and tell you, young men, don't tell your parents, well, look at Brother Ken, he didn't study. Well, but I did when I got in college, okay? I'm surprised they even admitted me. They just admitted me on my good looks, I think. I think that's what it was. But don't berate a child, right? Don't compare children with other children. Don't compare Johnny with Alice, right? Alice never did that. Well, Alice is not Johnny, right? And Johnny's not Alice, right? But come alongside them, encourage them, right? Now there's a time for discipline, yes. But, you know, I've seen parents just discipline their children out of, they didn't even know what they were doing it for. They just beat them, you know, and you don't know. When something happened in our family growing up, Larry and Linda don't even know this. When something happened in the family, Mom and Daddy didn't ask which of us four did it. They just grabbed me up and spanked me, you know, because I knew I was capable of doing it, right? I was a bad dude growing up, man. I'm glad I got saved, right? But if it's not in you, you can't give it to others, right? We should be remembered by our words, exhorting, comforting. And then also charged. Look at that verb in verse 11. And charged every one of you as a father doth his children. That word there provides a personal witness to why we need to follow the charge. It's not enough to tell them, don't do this. You need to tell them why they don't do it, right? Or how to do it. You don't say, because mom and daddy said so. You got to give them a reason, right? And you got to show them the borders. If you don't have any borders in their life, they're going to run wild, right? Children want to know where there's borders, right? Where can I push mom and daddy to and stop, right? But if you don't have any borders, they're going to grow up as juvenile delinquents, right? Are y'all with me today? All right, come up close, Adrian Rogers. Are you listening, Charles Stanley, right? And that guy, old guy we used to have come do revivals. Are you listening? Are you listening? Tough crowd. I'm waiting on lunch right now. But be charged, every one of you, right? And then lastly, if we're going to have a legacy of a father that pleases God, we should want to be remembered by our wants. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about your greeds. I'm talking about your wants. Look at verse 12. That you should walk worthy of God who hath called you in his kingdom and glory. Paul wanted to know that the believers, his spiritual children and his spiritual grandchildren, were walking in truth and glorifying God. I tell you what, there's no greater feeling today than know that your children are saved and your children are in church. Amen? And especially in the church where you're at, right? That's one advantage I've always had most of my life with my children. I know what they're being taught because they're under my ministry, right? But that's a great blessing to know that your children are saved and to know that they're walking with God. And that's why Paul said that. And I said, I'm overjoyed that you're walking with God. We should want our children to know Jesus and walk in a way that honors God. A father whose Christian children walk in the Lord, again, I believe that's the greatest blessing. And it's the greatest Father's Day gift. Men, you are blessed beyond measure to have your family set beside you today. Amen. Blessed beyond measure. Don't take it lightly. And it's nothing I done, nothing Faye done. It's nothing you done. It's by the grace of God. Amen. So I would want to tell you today, my appeal is twofold. To the Christians, it's to be a biblical father. Don't let the world conform you into their mold and how you ought to function and act as a father. That is not the real world. Okay? You look at the Bible. Do you have spiritual children? That's the challenge. Is there anybody that you've led to the Lord? That's your spiritual child, right? And do you have spiritual grandchildren? Some of them are long enough, or live long enough to have spiritual great-great-grandchildren, right? How about that? Well, we can start today. Invest your life, man, into another young man, right? And mentor them and disciple them in the Lord, right? I do that on Fridays at Boston. I do that on Wednesdays at the Y. I have 22 men in a class that I teach at the corporate office at the Y. I'm investing my life into them by showing them what this text means, right? So I would call on you to do that. And before you can be a spiritual father, though, you must be know God as Father, right? Before you can ever win anybody to the Lord, you got to know God, Father God, right? By confessing your sins and repenting of your sins and believing in Him, believing in Jesus Christ, atonement on the cross, is the only way, the only means to get you to heaven, right? I mean, that you can't even worry about anything else I said today unless you're saved, right? And so that's my appeal today. Are you saved? Have you been delivered from hell, death, and the grave? Right? That's what it means to be saved. What it means to be saved is to totally lose your life in Christ, right? He is your Lord and He is your Savior, right? He consumes you. He's not a part-time God when you come here and meet on Sunday and decide you're going to go by His commandments when you're at church, right? It's taking the Word of God and walking with Jesus and obeying Him, right? That's what it's all about, right? So I want to ask you today, and I personally believe, too, you can't be the father you need to be unless you're saved, myself. You know, a lot of good men out there, and, you know, they treat their children and do things better than we do sometimes, but there is no relationship between the Heavenly Father and them, right? And we got a problem, right? So I would encourage you. I would encourage you today to find somebody, your men, find somebody, mentor them, teach them, call them, be an accountable part. And then I would say, you know, and watch them as they beget other children and they win people to the Lord. And you see it, a cycle going. And I would say to you today, it's not too late to be the earthly father you need to be, right? Amen. I'm not here to preach on my father. My father, you know, he was a rough dude. And I can, like all of you, I can give stories and things like that, but I never had that example, you know? But praise God, what you didn't get from your father, you can give to other people, right? And so I look forward to that day. He came to know the Lord before he died. And have a legacy, guys, that is well-deserving of the Lord, right? You may give them the best education. You may send them to the best schools. They may end up with the best jobs. But if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're a failure, right? That's not all there is, just making sure they got a job making $300,000 a year, right? That's not all there is. Don't get caught into that trap. The main thing is, have they given their life to Christ, and do they follow him? As our musicians come up, Father, we pray today, this Father's Day, number one, we want to thank you for being a heavenly Father to us, and how you minister to your children. We can call you Abba Father. We have a relationship with you. And I pray today from this time on, if anybody here has failed as an earthly father, I pray for today that they'll go forward, ask repentance, and begin to walk with the Lord and see the example of how we have a family. And I stand up here with all my failures, all my scars, I have not always been the father I need to be. But Father, I thank you that you got a hold of me, Lord, and taught me what I need to be. So Father, whatever it is, the altar is open. We invite people to come and say, I want to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to unite with this church where I can be taught and mentored and use my gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ. I come today to be scripturally baptized. Maybe I've never been baptized. I never made that full identification of my death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus Christ. We invite you to come for that as well. Father, have your work. Do your work as only you can. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.